Do you feel continually let down by modern media? Do you miss the good old days, back when all that mattered was a good story and not some agenda? Do you have ambitions of picking up a pen and pad and fighting the creative war yourself? Then this is the podcast for you. Each week, I'm going to talk to a creator who said enough is enough and started making the content they wished was out there. Join us as we discuss the ups and downs of the self-publishing world. We want to help empower you to join the Iron Age of media. Welcome to Iron Age Marketing. Welcome, Mr. Will G, to the Iron Age Marketing Podcast. How are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing good. You know, just hanging out, enjoying the day off.
So I stumbled across you when I was searching for independent comic creators on LinkedIn and was, if nothing else, surprised that, hey, there's people that are doing this that happen to have LinkedIn profiles. I assumed I'd need to go to some other more interesting place to find comic creators, but there you were.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, born and raised in Texas, just pretty normal upbringing, went through school and everything, went through a community college and everything, took a RTF through the RTF program. And, through the classes I took in there, I found like I had more of a talent for like writing and stuff, and with screenwriting in particular, so I really like with my writing style, that's how I started to incorporate a lot of screenwriting elements and stuff. It just made it a lot more easier, for me to go through the process doing the screenwriting way. And, just picking up influences from, here and there, like as you go along with it, like I'm watching, your Saturday morning cartoons, watching animes, all these kind of different shows coming up. And, like as creator, you're taking like all those little bits and pieces of everything. And, you're just putting you're amalgamating it, and, it's all about how you spin it, that makes something really unique, because I mean, if you spin it enough, people are going to be like, not even really going to see, where it came from when it's obvious to you, the creator, right? But maybe to somebody like with a keen eye, it's more obvious. But, generally, if you do it enough, you can make something pretty unique.
Well, I mean, what is it they say? There's only 14 stories that you can even tell.
Right, right. Especially too with the whole hero's journey template. What's funny, through the courses I took, a lot of movies and such stories do, follow the template in one way, fashion or another. It's all about how they spin it a lot of the times, right? Like, what is it, like Quentin Tarantino style? He's so keen with like the rules of film and storytelling and stuff. He can take the advantages that he does with it, and make it, palatable for everybody else, So it's like, stuff like that, it's like, there's all these little tricks and things you can do to like change up the style and make it look unique. But it's really just, moving pieces around,
Well, the bottom line is that we use the hero's journey for a reason. It works.
Right, exactly.
It's speculation as to whether or not like there's something ingrained in us, actual, infrastructure wise in our brains that's set to expect that and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
that's I've read a lot of Joseph Campbell. We'll just put it that way. Right.
And then it's too from taken from that. Like I've always liked stories that kind of start in the middle of things, and then you kind of, things kind of unfold, and, with my comic series, RWA, that's kind of how I decided to start it. It's like, cause I had like three story arcs in mind, and I was like, look, we'll do three story arcs, maybe like 10, 12 issues a piece is what I had in mind, to really get through like the story arc of it, But we were talking about it more, and it's like arc one was just really, kind of a slower burn, more origin stuff and everything. And we really wanted to kind of like grab attention, but also like tell the story in a more different kind of way where, you're thrown in the middle of it. You're with these characters and the situation they're in. And, as it unfolds, you get to know them. You get to know, everything about the city, stuff like that.
Right on. Well, why don't you actually tell us a little bit about your comic?
Yeah. Well, it's a basically, it's a sci-fi action, and it's got a lot of people like come to the, you know, it's like Power Rangers influenced, you know, and that's pretty true, you know, because I mean, hey, you look at the cover, you know, they're all color coded, you know, they got the armors, they got their weapons and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I tried to put more of like that mature spin on it. Animes in particular, you know, like how they go about it. And there was one in particular that I was really influenced by, and it was the Guyver series.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's what I liked, you know, because to me, when I saw it and I was like, oh, man, that's like Power Rangers. But, you know, if they're more brutal to me, because mm-hmm. it's like there's still the thing with the armor and everything. But, you know, he just doesn't go. It's morphin time, you know, kind of thing. You know, there's a transformation and then boom, he's got little blades on his arm and he's cutting dudes up, you know, kind of stuff.
That's a classic sci-fi movie there for folks who are uninitiated.
The movie and then the anime is what I really liked, you know, and it's weird because the movie, like on cable TV, you just stumble upon stuff sometimes. And I came upon, I guess, like the last bit of it. And I was always like, whoa, what was that movie? And then you find it later in life.
I want to say in the late 90s, the Guyver was on somewhere on USA at some point in time every day.
Yeah. And you know, and that's how it would be. Sometimes you just watch something random. You're like, whoa, what was that? You might find out what it was. You may never, you know. But a good chunk of movies that I did, like I ended up finding eventually, like, you know, what they were and stuff. And Guyver was one of them. And like, yeah, like as corny as some of it was, you know, like I could see like, hey, you know, there's ways to do it better and stuff. Not like, you know, what they did was complete garbage. It's just, you know, you take it in and you look at it. Oh, well, you know, I look at what I can do with my stories and my thing and, you know, make my creative process better.
It's funny listening to you talk about like the amalgamation of the creative process. And I'm reminded of like the Flaming Lips created a Christmas movie a number of years ago, because for years their singer was trying to find this movie that he remembered from his childhood.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, the movie didn't exist. It was actually like he kept falling asleep and waking up at different points of multiple movies and it kind of crushed them all into one movie.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So eventually they kind of made their own movie based off of what he thought he'd watched.
But it's kind of cool too in its way how those little pieces of those like can create something unique even from that, you know.
No, like just absolutely.
From those little nuggets you can still, you know, be inspired like that, you know.
Yeah, I was interested because I think when I first saw you, you shared a YouTube video of somebody holding up like the cover of one of your issues. And it reminded me a lot of like old Judge Dredd, like that early British comic roots in the style that I was seeing. It also had kind of like a hyper violent kind of look to it, which appealed to me as well.
Absolutely. And like with the style, what we went for, you know, we were talking up like, you know, just more going like with the manga style, you know, with the panels and, you know, even with the artwork, some a little bit with it, like the action and everything, but still keep it, you know, like the character models and such, you know, have them realistic looking, you know, not like over the top really. I mean, I would maybe reserve certain things for like fight scenes and such like that. But you know, keep it realistic, and then, you know, the colors and stuff, like, you know, we were talking about it, and I mean it was mostly a cost decision to keep it, you know, black and white and grays, but in the end it was like, you know, it actually, it makes something unique, you know, it looks pretty cool. And you know, I think not everyone's really going for that kind of style, you know. They tend to stick to, I kind of call it like the safe style, you know. You can say it's the style that works, you know, but it's not really a creative risk, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm a little more about. Like, you know, like creative risk, if done well, you know, you never know like how, like you like even something like Paranormal Activity, that was like such a low budget indie movie. And then, you know, that blow up all kinds of money, you know.
Well, I remember its predecessor, the Blair Witch Project, how that.
Exactly. And it, to me, it was like no different, you know.
Those people had the biggest payoff in movie history. With that movie.
Absolutely.
Cost practically nothing.
And you know how they went about it was legendary, even, you know, with the everybody thought it was real and all that kind of stuff, you know.
I think I was 12 years old when the Blair Witch Project, the first one, came out, and like I remember going like, oh my god, dude, it's real,
right?
And eventually, like, you see them on the news and like how like, oh no, it's bullshit, but we made a lot of money, so thank you.
Right, exactly. And you were entertained, right? You know, like, you're all
no, absolutely, it was terrifying in the theaters.
Oh yeah, And it's interesting, you know, how you did have that mixed reaction. There were people like, ah, was it scary? And it's like, but if you really kind of, you let yourself go in it, you know, that's it with most movies. You know, you kind of have to let go of a little logic and stuff and just kind of enjoy the ride. But, you know.
The suspension of disbelief.
Exactly.
So we talked a little bit on LinkedIn about one of the reasons I wanted you to come on the show is because you seemed incredibly excited about independent creators going out and, as you put it, shooting their shot. And I love that concept because I think everyone should be doing it. Like, if the worst that happens is AI takes over everything and replaces all the jobs in the world, The one thing that we're all going to need is an endless supply of creative material to fill all of the time where we used to have to work.
Exactly.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you've managed to pursue this and find success in it?
You know, like a lot of it is just putting a plan together, really, you know, just balancing out like, okay, you know, you have a day job, you hold it down. And, you know, right now with what I'm doing, I'm using my day job to pay for it and everything. And also going to events, you know, trying to meet people, you know, build up sales that way. And I mean, there's just all kinds of ways, but a lot of it takes being inspired, you know, and being motivated. And self-motivation, you know, can be the hardest thing to garner within yourself. But, you know, it really, once you start seeing other people do it, you know, it's like, hey, this guy's kind of a nobody, but he's going for it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, hey, if he can do it, I can do it kind of thing, You know? And it's all about, too, whether you really want it enough, too. You know, like, if the desire is not there, you know, like, you know, you don't have the enthusiasm for it, the passion for it, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to show, you know, and you know, you burn out and stuff. And that's it with me, like, cause it's been a long running thing, you know, I've always had these ideas swirling around and stuff. And it was all a matter of like trying to learn how to not only construct them, but also to compile them, you know, and make sure like when you're writing it down, you know, like it's all coming together, you know, like all the puzzle pieces line up, you know, and that's why, you know, shooting for perfection, you know, it's not really a thing for me. You know, I just go for solid, You know, as long as what I'm going for is solid, everything, you know, will fall into place, you know, and what helps with me having the editors that I have, you know, they keep me in check, you know, they're like, you know, with certain things of dialogue or certain artworks and stuff like that, you know, just like, It's always good to have more input, really. You know,
well, and as Michael Malice would put it, I mean, you don't need to be Steinbeck. You just have to be better than the worst writers out there. And that's not that difficult.
Right. And it's too. Yeah. To your point, you know, you're just looking around, soaking it in, seeing what's out there, see what they're doing, what they're not doing. And that's how you get ahead, quite frankly, you know.
So for you, it wasn't seeing Eric July make $3.7 million off the first issue of his self-released comic book.
Oh, yeah. And to me, it's like, hey, man, that goes to show like you can be successful with that kind of stuff, you know, if you just commit to it, you know. And I applaud the success for his series, you know, because I had ended up reading it and stuff. And, you know, it wasn't really my jam and stuff. But, you know, I was still like, hey, man, like he's going for it, you know, and it's cool to see other creators.
I'm not a superhero guy personally. So like for me, it's like.
Right.
I'm a horror guy.
And that's mostly where I was at, because it's just rather kind of typical superhero looking stuff to me. Like, and that's kind of where I was at with it. It's like, it looks solid, you know, but it's just, I guess, where I was caught up with it. Just maybe nothing special, I guess. But, you know, that doesn't mean you should give it up by any means. Yeah, just keep going with it, dude.
Well, I mean, as he put it, the reason it made sense for him is that, like, what's being done to the characters, and that if they have an audience and they think they can sell them, that's all by all means.
Yeah.
But he saw an opening where the comics that he wanted weren't being made. Like, so he's like, if you want a superhero comic, I'm going to go make superhero comics.
Boom.
And treat them like I want superhero comics to be treated.
Yeah.
And, at least it seems to be working out for him. Now, what I need is someone to go enter the horror comic genre and really start doing
that. Horror, yeah, would be great, yeah.
Because basically I've got DC Black Label and there's only like one writer I like over there.
Oh, is that right? I mean, there's some, you know, that I've come across, you know, like one of the more gnarlier comics that I've seen in regards to horror series was like the Crossed series. That was some of the gnarliest, you know, like especially as far as American comics go. And you know, it's funny, it turns out how much of a Garth Ennis fan that I ended up being because I read a lot of Punisher comics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ones that I really liked ended up being a part of the Max series.
Okay.
And I believe that was his run. And right. And so like, I was like, man, like the art style, like how brutal they got with it, all this kind of stuff. I was like, that's solid stuff. You know, like Punisher was always like one of my favorites and stuff, alongside with Batman, of course, but you know, mm-hmm. Punisher is a special kind of favorite.
I'm always interested in the character. The saddest thing Punisher wise for me is that like he had the best villain in the modern Marvel canon, like where they were doing the shows on Netflix, mm-hmm. and that Vincent D'Onofrio did the best version of my favorite comic book character ever. Like if you're gonna go superheroes, mm-hmm. Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, was like for me the best character in all of comics.
Oh yeah, he definitely brought it for that role, definitely.
And just to see the way that's kind of like they everything that was in that world got ended, I'm like, you guys were nailing it for a change. And
yeah, I even thought the Bullseye stuff wasn't that bad, you know, like some of the mm-hmm. fight scenes, like they had some really cool ideas with them and stuff, because mm-hmm. I was influenced like in 2014 with the movie The Raid. When that one came out, I saw that one in theater, mm-hmm. and man, like the action scenes in that one, I was like, dang, like every other movie after that I've been like spoiled or something, because it's like, it wasn't as good as The Raid, or wasn't as good as The Raid 2, that's for sure. And you know, it's like movies like that, you know, more how they're shooting like that, like that'd be great to see, you know, more like that, mm-hmm. and then there's a lot of them that come pretty close, you know.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, you've already mentioned that like relationship building is certainly part of building and having a sellable product. You know, obviously, making relationships with the people that are going to help you reach out to a broader audience. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you found success with as far as that goes? Or what I'm really interested in is there's things that you would recommend to people that you've yet to be able to do. Mm-hmm. Or like the ways to elevate that, you know, obviously you're a guy who works a day job to put, you know, push his dream. If you had like money was no object, like what are the things that you would recommend?
Oh man. I mean, definitely it seems like going for the events, like the Comic Cons and stuff is where it's at to really connect with people. And you know, I think like when you do a lot through social media and stuff, it's not always a guarantee of like sales and real followers, you know, look at that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. when I say real followers, it means like they're buying every book kind of thing like that, you know, they're more committed to it and stuff. And you know, it's not on them, you know, everyone's got their own lives and stuff like that, of course.
Yeah,
you know, so you know, you can't have you can't put too much expectations on it, you know, you just have to keep up the grind. And you know, the real customers, you know, they'll come, you know, kind of stuff. And that's why I think the events are really advantageous, because there's a lot more of them going on. And it doesn't take much to get in there, you know, once you have some material like to show, you know, that's enough right there, you know, just go with business cards for sure, you know, and really have, you know, a business mindset going into it, you know.
Do you do any type of guerrilla promotion out of curiosity? Like say, hey, I've got my ticket to Comic-Con and now I'm going to go and just start handing out, you know, like one sheets or things like that to everybody in the crowd.
Oh yeah. No, I was actually considering that for certain events and stuff like that. Like, cause there's bigger events that go on, around the Austin area and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of them. So I'm like, yeah, you know, it's all a matter of just putting that together. And I haven't really gotten into that just yet. You know, it's been more of like trying to scour for events to get in on has been my focus really. And then also mm-hmm. keeping on with each issue and stuff like that, you know, because I'm working on issue 5 currently. Because mm-hmm. my goal is to keep ahead of the artist and stuff. So it's like he's working on one. I'm trying to be at least 2 issues ahead of him, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I figured that's the best way to maintain quality and stuff like that. And that's it too, like with a lot of creators who might not even know where to start, it's really just about starting somewhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if you're caught up like, hey, well, I'm not an artist and this, that, and the third, there's artists out there, you know. It's all a matter of asking them for commissions and stuff like that, you know. It's all just ask.
And you know, we're in a world where some of the majors aren't even paying their artists at this point. So if you've got cash on the barrel, I mean,
exactly,
you kind of got your pick of the artists.
Exactly, they're out there. And you even like on LinkedIn here, you know, you see a good chunk of them, you know, they're giving it away. It's like open to work. And it's all a matter of like, hey, if you got some money to do it, you got an idea, or you know someone who's got an idea and you think it could really take off, you know, you believe in the potential of it, mm-hmm. you know, invest in it, you know, and if it's too, like, you want to be what you're, what's not out there, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, with the material, you know, you don't really see that kind of stuff out there. Like, you're talking about more horror and stuff like that. You want to see more like that. And I agree, you know, and I like a lot of them. I don't know. It's just they kind of follow the same styles and templates like that have been done before. Mm. And it's all like, if you kind of look around at other different styles, like even mangas and stuff, you know, you can take all kinds of that different stuff and put it into your thing and turn it into something else. And that's, so that's really it. Just having an open mind with different kinds of material that may not even be your thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's really like a comfort zone thing for a lot of people. I think you have to kind of work past, especially engaging into like the creative space, you know, with other creators out there. You know, it's like you just really got to go for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I'm one thing here. I'm curious as far as obviously social media is almost useless at this point for promoting things, in my opinion.
Yeah.
How do you utilize it, if at all, at this point?
I mean, it's really just been a good tool to post artwork, you know, get more people involved, you know, reach out to different people, you know, and it's really, to me, it's a fishing line among other kind of fishing lines that you could put out across social media and stuff. And you know, my thinking has been, why limit to yourself to just one line? You know, just keep going to mm-hmm. as many as you can and reach out to different ones. Because there's a lot of, even on Facebook, you know, there's a lot of different groups like that are comic book fans and stuff like that, you know, and engage yourself in their conversations kind of stuff, you know, and that goes a long way. It's just really taking some initiative with it, you know, mm-hmm. But it can be done, you know, I mean, it's just all a matter of keeping like a master plan, you know, mm-hmm. in your head. And then, I mean, even with, you know, you can't expect everything to go according to plan, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a matter of, hey, how do you adapt when your master plan, you know, doesn't really go the way you want it at every turn, you know?
Yeah, how do you move with the punches on it?
Right, right. And, you know, you're not making the sales that you want or hitting the goals that you want, you know, and it's just all a matter of, hey, like, you know, it's, you didn't hit it this way, you know, okay, well, what can you do differently? You know, what can we try? You know, what can we maybe change, you know?
Mm-hmm. And creator Jack Lloyd that I had on, who came for the Voluntarist comic book. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he said that I, you know, fully get behind is the idea that if you keep at this long enough, eventually you're going to build your fan base.
Yeah.
The people that don't succeed are the ones that give up before it happens. Just inevitably.
They think it, I mean, not like they, I think they come at it with a whole instant gratification angle, you know, but it's like they want it to happen quickly and stuff like that, you know, but it, even if you're doing everything right, you know, it's still not gonna go your way. You know, a lot of people get lucky, mm-hmm. you know, but hey, if you're not lucky, you know, you just got to work a little more. That's all, you know, it's nothing really shade to anybody, you know, it's just, you know, and then it's really too, that's as you go forward into it, like whatever audience you're gaining, you're going to learn your audience. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people say, know your audience. Well, yeah, know your audience, but you have to learn them first, you know, because a lot yeah. of times you think, you know, this is going to hit with this audience, but then when you're out there in the booth, you know, you can realize otherwise, you know, it's like, oh, it actually hits with these people more, you know, kind of stuff.
So your instinct isn't to take the audience and then do the exact opposite of what they want and subvert their expectations mm-hmm. at every turn.
Yeah. Well, then it's too, because there is subverting your subverting audience expectations in a way that, I guess, and that works, you know, that's effective, that hits, you know, because a lot of times when it's done, it's just, because I'll tell you one, when it came to subverting expectations that kind of really got me was the Glass movie.
Okay.
Because the way they ended it and everything, like killing everybody off. And it's like, dude, they're subverting expectations. But then there's like such downer stuff where, you know, it's like, come on, like, where do we go from here? Like, this isn't really instill any kind of hope, you know, kind of thing. You know, and not to say every story has to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
But it's like, go for good, you know? I mean, because, hey, bad endings can be good, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter of like, it doesn't really sit well with, you know, sometimes.
Right on. Well, for anyone who's interested in your comic book, where can we send them to check it out, learn about more about you and the book itself?
To check out more, we got a website, www.reactive.com. weaponizedarmor.com. We got like a shop set up and everything. You know, we got issues 1 through 4 up there. We also have the Instagram, Facebook pages. You know, we post artwork up there, what events I'm going to be attending, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, just, you know, keeping people updated and stuff. But yeah, that'd be the best ways. Aside from the LinkedIn profile that I have set up as well.
Right on. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today, boss. And hopefully we get a few people your way. And hopefully, if nothing else, I really want to inspire more people to go out and just kind of make more art.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the reason my veiled interest in this is like, I want more people creating more fantasy and sci-fi books for me.
And that's where I'm at. Like, now's the time, you know, really just go for it, y'all. Like, the only one in your way is yourself most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, hey, if you have it, you like work out the ways to get it done, because one writer's style isn't going to work for another. So, you know, you just look around at other people's styles and like go with what works for you. You know, like movie script writing style, you know, that works for me.
Well, and the bottom line is nobody connects with everybody. You're just looking for the people that you connect with.
Right. And it's all about trying to appeal to as many people as you can. But at the same time, you know, you're never going to please everybody, you know.
Is it Pat Flynn's the guy who came up with like the 1,000 true fans model?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you get 1,000 people to give you $5 a month, you'll never have to do anything the rest of your life.
Yep, exactly.
So...
And it's rather simple at that, you know, because a lot of people can overcomplicate it. You know, just keep it simple.
Right on. Well, what a wonderful interview here, boss. And I can't wait to see what comes out in the future from you.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, thanks for having me. Thanks for reaching out.
Do you fancy yourself the next Tolkien, Lewis, or Barker? Maybe you just have something subversive to say. Hopefully this podcast is helping you. But maybe your ambitions are just a little bigger than you can handle on your own. Head over to ironagemarketing.com and let Nikki P. help ensure your book doesn't release to nobody.